This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here. It's The Adam Ritz Show. We cover public affairs. I've got Jay Baker with me. Jay, how are you?
I am doing great, Adam. Hope you are as well. And the world of public affairs, there's so much activity happening, so many things I think that are going to be very helpful for our listeners. I am really looking forward to this next half hour.
Yes, it's a half hour of public affairs, and we're your humble hosts, both with music radio backgrounds. And when I bring up this band to you, Jay, with almost three decades of rock radio in your back pocket, what do you think of Pablo Cruz?
I really like Pablo Cruz. To the best of my knowledge, as I rack my brain, they were formed from a bunch of guys who were studio musicians who had a love for sort of Caribbean jazz music. And so people love Pablo Cruz because when you put their music on, it's very relaxing and very reminiscent of summer.
Yeah, very beachy, tropical, classic hits, classic rock.
Yes.
More notably, currently known as Yacht Rock. And two of their biggest hits are two of my favorite songs from my childhood, What You Gonna Do and Love Will Find a Way. If you've heard, I'm not going to sing them for you, but as soon as you hear the opening notes, you know those songs. Two top 10 hits from the late 70s. I will encourage listeners to go listen to a song called Cool Love. I'm familiar with the band more recently because of my affinity for yacht rock. So
right.
I've gotten into Pablo Cruz here lately. Worlds Away, A Place in the Sun, Island Woman. I mean, these are all great songs. In fact, my other effort is Yacht Rock Radio, and we feature those songs on Yacht Rock Radio. And Pablo Cruz is involved with a pretty cool charity this very weekend in Marion, Illinois, to raise money and funding and awareness for a food pantry and soup kitchen known as the Marion Ministerial Alliance Food Pantry and Soup Kitchen. So by the time our show airs, the concert will have already taken place on Saturday, July 27. But talk about a great event to get a ticket, go hear some great music, and raise money to help feed some people that need help.
No, that's terrific. You know, the more help, the better, as we like to say. And if you combine it with seeing a great band, Pablo Cruz, that's actually some must-see entertainment right there. And if I'm not mistaken, wasn't their keyboard player? He actually was out on the Rolling Stones tour.
Wow.
Was it Chuck Lavelle?
I don't know. That's the 30-year rock radio history in your back pocket of Jay Baker coming through.
I saw him listed on a list, and I'm pretty sure he was part of the backing band for the Rolling Stones' latest tour.
Now, when he's standing around and someone says, hey, what band are you in? You think his Pablo Cruz buddies get mad when he goes, I was in the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you and I have always talked about how do you pad your resume? You do it with name brands. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're going to quit Pablo Cruz, Rolling Stones is a pretty good band to jump into. Not that he quit, but we always talk about your entertainment dollar and getting out and having some fun for a great cause. So this is a perfect example of that. If you're looking at a concert this summer, this fall, and your budget's tight, and you're also, you know, philanthropic and you like to give to causes, maybe you can combine those two loves or passions you have and just do a little research, find a concert nearby that's actually a charity benefit concert, and you can go have a good night out, have some fun, see some great music, and raise money for a great cause. We will put a link to this story on our website adamritzshow.com. Again, it's the Marian Ministerial Alliance Food Pantry and Soup Kitchen raising money with their Will Rock for Food concert featuring Pablo Cruz. It all went down this weekend at the Marian Cultural and Civic Center in Marian, Illinois.
Now, Adam, will you be watching the Olympics?
You know what? I'll tune that in. Yeah, for sure. I'll throw that on and cheer for the old red, white, and blue. Why not?
Yeah, the Paris Olympics kicks off. By the time you hear this show, they will be into the first weekend of competition. And it's quite a major feat, obviously, to bring that many athletes from all over the world. They'll all be gathered in Paris, one of the great cities in the world. And I think Paris and London are tied for hosting the most Olympic competitions.
Well, that's good to know. That's some great trivia. Paris,
yes,
and London have hosted the most Summer Olympics.
Followed closely by Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah, of course.
That's
Fort Wayne in Athens, Greece.
Yes, Fort Wayne hosted back in the 1820s. It was pretty amazing. The Paris Olympics is going to feature over 10,000 athletes. So as you might imagine, those athletes are going to be hungry, Adam. The company that is in charge of feeding them broke down some of the numbers. There's going to be four nutrition themes: French, Asian, World, and African Caribbean. So those are sort of the palates, if you will, of the food that they're going to be serving at the Olympics.
So cheeseburgers and chicken wings, that falls under world cuisine.
Yeah, I oftentimes think, what happens, I guess French cuisine, that kind of makes sense. But I didn't see fish or chips or cheeseburger on this, so it must fall under world. Because if you and I were there, that's what we'd be eating. You guys are terrible athletes. Where do we find a cheeseburger?
Yeah, no kidding. And you said Asian, so there's, Chinese,
right,
and hibachi food covered. You got to have Mexican food, don't you?
Sure, you would think. And you and I know with Asian food, there's always some great smorgasbord near us, so you would think that there'd be just all these incredible foods aplenty. But you're right, what happens if you need a beloved cheeseburger or waffle? What country does waffle fall under?
I think that's just world cuisine, and that's going to be the biggest part of the menu. The longest lines at the buffet are going to be in the world cuisine room.
Absolutely. So they think that they're going to be serving about 40,000 meals each day, with a total of 2 million meals being served for the entire Olympics.
To just the athletes.
Just the athletes. And, like you said, there will be, of course, members of the press and other hungry people lining up. So this is a pretty big deal.
Okay, so the press is involved in those numbers, too.
Well, I don't know if they're involved in those numbers. This is just for the athletes. But
you got
to think, you've got the officials. That's the gig we need, I think, is Olympic official. I figure you and I would have some really nice blazers. And probably access to some good food.
I think you get a fedora with that gig. And,
a fedora and a blazer.
And a punch card to the World Cuisine Buffet.
Oh, that sounds so good. There's going to be 3 million bananas brought in for the athletes. 3 million bananas. That's hard to even fathom. I mean, if you set out 3 million bananas, how much space might they occupy?
I don't know if there's enough space in Paris to house 3 million bananas. That's
I don't know.
Just the bananas. What about the watermelon?
The bananas. Part of Paris residents are going to need to move out to make room for the bananas. 27 tons of coffee. Mm-hmm. And according to this, plant-based ingredients will make up about one-third of the food, because they do feel that most athletes will want to eat healthy despite what you and I might think.
How many courts, or is it liters of human growth hormone will be there as well?
How many injections of illicit substances? Wow, that guy's fast on the bike. Yeah, he sure is.
It's liters in Europe.
It's liters. It's a little bit metric, as we like to say. I know you're not a big video game player, but yeah, every once in a while, a video game comes along that sort of rocks everyone's world. That video game in our lifetime is a title called EA Sports College Football 25. Have you heard about it?
I would say I'm somewhat familiar with just the title you said, EA Sports College Football. But I don't know. I think I just know that the graphics have become so real. It's almost like you're controlling a real football game.
Yes. Part of the reason I brought it up is that particular title, the college football title, had gone away for a long time. EA Sports had developed a really good way for anybody to play any kind of football. They famously created the Madden football game, and that is, you know, certainly a trendsetter in computer games. But the college one had been off the table for a while because they couldn't settle the problem of being able to include real athletes' names. When the NCAA started allowing colleges to have name, image, likeness as a commercial feature, well, this game came about, and it will probably be, early reports are saying, this could be the biggest EA Sports title in the history of gaming.
And so they figured out how to monetize through the sale of the game with the names of the jerseys to get the money to the college football players.
Yes. So if you select a team in College Football 25, many of the key players that play for your university should be featured athletes. Now, not every single one of them, because of the sheer numbers involved. But certainly I would think most of the top programs, the SEC, Big Ten schools, schools of that nature, should have a number of your star athletes involved.
It'd be great. Can you pick any team to play any team? And I'm
yes.
asking you, like,
oh,
you
yes.
really know a lot about this video game, but
oh,
you can?
I know a lot about it. Yes. Yes, you can. So you could create that magic matchup that you were denied this last year as a college football fan. So you could have your beloved Boilermakers square off against any of the top, you know, four or five teams. And let's say they beat, you know, Georgia, or they beat Clemson or Alabama, then hey, blah. The Boilermakers are the national champs.
Well, let me... You were half right there. What I'm envisioning is, my team is the Purdue Boilermakers.
Right.
That's who I cheer for. And I would want them to play, you know, Southeastern New Mexico Tech, so that I could actually get a big blowout win. Assuming this is an off year for Southeastern New Mexico Tech.
The game right now does not feature community colleges. However,
I do not want Purdue Boilermakers to play Georgia in reality or in a video game or ever. Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, if you do play Georgia, some of your players will be realistically carted off the field.
Yeah, it's so realistic.
It's so realistic. Hey, you know, we all love our pets, but sometimes you have to look at the actual bottom line for owning a pet. 66% of American households have at least one pet. Nearly half have a dog, and over a third of American households have a cat.
Okay.
Now, Americans are projected to spend about $156 billion on our four-legged furry friends. That's in 2024.
$156 billion. What an industry. No wonder.
Yes, you betcha. That's why when you see those pet food ads on national television, you go, hey, I didn't know that was that big of a product. Oh, yes, it is.
I mean, $156 billion, if you could just get just a tiny percentage of that market, you're doing okay.
Yeah. Each of the U.S. households on a per pet average are expected to spend about $1,700. Dog owners can expect to spend an average of $1,200 on their pets in general in 2024. And cat owners get a bit of a break. It only costs about $836 to own Mr. Kitty Cat.
Is that just, I'm just guessing, is cat food just cheaper than dog food? Or what is
that
difference?
The animal itself is slightly smaller, so doesn't need as much chow.
They're more independent. They stay in the house. They don't need walked. So
they oftentimes have jobs and work from home.
You don't need to buy the $300 winter coat to go walk your cat the way you do your dog in the winter.
Mr. Dog, yes. Yes, our dog has, I think, two or three coats. So I'm sure our per average spend at this residence is blown past any of the numbers we've just shared with you.
You don't have to buy the $60 gift basket for your neighbor when your cat takes a 3-pound dump in their yard like your dog does. So, yeah, I can see how dogs are a little more expensive.
Yeah. Well, and then it was funny you mentioned that about the yard waste problem, because every third post on outdoor for our neighborhood is about that topic.
Well, it's, you know, that's a whole nother industry when you just look at the plastic baggies that everyone carries with them when they go on a walk. I don't think it's you could say that dog has mastered mankind, because everywhere you look, there's a human walking with a bag full of excrement from their pet. Now, who's the master and who's not?
You got to wonder if dogs are thinking, look how well-trained this human
is. That's exactly right.
This is kind of sad news, but we knew it was going to happen. Costco members will have to pay more for their memberships starting this fall. The company has announced it's increasing the annual membership fee between $5 and $10.
Yeah, it's gone up a little.
It's gone up a little bit.
We've done the math. I'm a member. Melissa and I are members. And whatever the fee is, generally is the exact amount of money we get back from their rewards program. So I don't know exactly how Melissa knows everything about it. But we spend enough money there that once a year they send us a little rebate check, in the form of a gift card. And that gift card is about exactly what our annual membership is.
See, that's not bad.
She just mentioned that with the membership going up, we're going to have to spend more money at Costco so that our gift card we get annually is more.
That makes perfect sense.
That's how our math works when we shop.
And you and I talked about the one amazing benefit of being a Costco member is the Costco snack bar. Featuring some amazing pizza slices and the Costco hot dog.
World famous Costco hot dog for just a
$1.50. Not to be missed.
It's almost 12 full inches, and you get a soda, and it's $1.50. So you can't go anywhere and get just a soda for $1.50, it seems.
Are you kidding me?
The pizza, they've got, frozen yogurt. I mean, it's amazing to me. How many, when I check out of Costco and I've got my cart filled with $200 or $300 worth of garbage, how many similar families have more than I have? So they've got $400 or $500 worth of food in their cart, and they still stop off at the snack bar to get a frozen yogurt and a slice of pizza.
My feeling is if you don't stop at the snack bar, you're being un-American. Is that too much to say?
I think you're right. I think you're a bad person if you don't stop.
You better stop. Oh, you might need that Costco hot dog if you go to a wedding this year. As we well know, we're entering the temperatures are warming up enough, and fall is sort of the busy season for weddings, mostly because, well, spring and fall, because people don't want to get married, you know, like right in the middle of August in the heat.
No.
But it costs a bundle to go to a wedding. The average wedding in America in 2023 cost a total of $26,000.
Whoa. That's the average wedding cost, 26
last
grand.
Last year. Yeah,
and that,
survey
and I mean,
says.
When you're talking averages, like the first thing I thought of is the I know dozens of people who have just gone to the Justice of the Peace to get married.
Right.
So there's a wedding that cost $100. So somebody had to have a $52,000 wedding to make up that average.
Sure. Oh, sure. I mean, there's some big weddings out there, my friend. And I'm not saying that, you know, you're seeing the clear snapshot of the weddings, but I am telling you, I have heard of some friends that have gotten pulled into what I call the wedding vortex. So, yes, while not everybody's out there spending that 26 grand, that is the average cost last year. The weddings had 115 guests, which means it costs $232 per person. Venue expenses are the biggest expense, with the average price being around $7,000 for a well-thought-out venue.
It is such a racket.
Well,
when you think about it, I mean, when you're at our age looking at it, it's such a racket. But when you're 25 and it's your wedding, I mean, you want to. I've seen the polls where if you've asked a couple, would you rather have a $26,000 wedding, or would you rather get $26,000 to start your life together and have no wedding, just get married, you know, down at the courthouse?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of couples say they want the wedding.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, you know, the wedding thing is still very important. And yes, you raise a great point. If you can get into the wedding business, whether you're, you know, you own the venue or you own a catering company or, you know, you're even a disc jockey, good disc jockeys get paid pretty well for these weddings.
Wedding DJs make a ton of money. And you can even do that as a side hustle and make as much money as your normal salary wherever you work. So, our suggestion, you don't even need to have any DJ experience. If you invested some money in the right equipment with some lighting, mm-hmm. the PA system, the speakers, the microphone, the now digital turntable system software on your computer so that you can mix songs together or at least fade them into each other, and then you get a good music provider where if somebody comes up and requests a song you don't have, you can just go immediately to your laptop, download the song, and you can play it in seconds. I mean, that's not a very hard skill set to master. And you could make an extra $1,000 a weekend doing a wedding.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not incorrect about that at all. I've always felt like if you're going to be a wedding DJ, really all you need is the song "We Are Family," and then just leave it at that.
We Are Family, the Chicken Dance. You gotta have old time rock and roll.
Oh yes, and maybe, how about New York, New York?
Oh, New York, New York. September from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and more recently the. Oh my gosh, huge star. His name is escaping me. He's a little dude that looks like Michael Jackson. So talented.
Oh,
you know who I'm
yeah.
talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
This is 30
and
years.
His name is escaping me.
30 years of rock radio coming to fruition here where we can't think of this guy's name. And everybody's screaming at the radio right now. He had the best skit on Saturday Night Live. And, oh, my God, I can't even Google him because I don't know what to Google.
But you're right. That song. I know exactly
you know what
I'm talking
about. Talking
that
about. Song.
Yeah. That song. Hey. And just another quick aside to weddings, Adam, and this is mostly for people that understand the show Seinfeld, invitations on average to a big schmancy wedding set them back $525. Now, we all know what happens if you try to save money on the invitations. Ask George Costanza.
Right. That's...
And I don't know if you remember that scene.
Well, what did he do with the invitations? Did he is that the episode he burned down the house?
Well, no, to save money, he bought the least expensive wedding invitations, and his bride-to-be was preparing the invitations and licking the envelopes, and due to the toxic nature of the glue on the inexpensive envelopes, she actually passed away.
Yes, that's right. I remember now. you'll be happy to know that just having everybody scream at the radio the name of the artist that I couldn't think of, it actually got through my headphones, and I got it from our listeners. It's Bruno Mars.
There we go, Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars. Don't ask me to tell you what the song's called. I'm not going to know it. But it's the one with the horns that's a big party song. Everybody loves to dance to it.
Everybody dances to it.
Oh, my gosh.
Your drunken uncle will be out there dancing to it. Take his car keys, but let him dance, as we always like to say. And here's a, kind of an interesting note. We kind of keep an eye on different businesses and business trends. This was a restaurant that I would have told you 20 years ago, boy, they've created a great niche for themselves, but they are now in a situation where they are closing dozens of locations, and it's the restaurant chain Hooters.
Hooters. I read that too. Yeah, they're closing a lot of locations. Is it all of the locations or just
not all of them? A number of them. A list provided to USA Today showed that the restaurant shuttered Hooters locations in 14 states. And they said that the move comes a little bit of a surprise because one of the business deals that they made just last year was to start offering frozen Hooters products in the grocery store aisle.
I did not know that one either. I've not seen, I've seen the frozen foods from TGI Fridays.
Yes.
Cheesecake Factory. I haven't seen anything in the frozen foods from Hooters yet. But you know what I have seen? Uptown Funk from Bruno Mars.
Uptown Funk.
That's the song. Yes. Oh, my God. Gosh, you know how many people are mad that I couldn't think of Bruno Mars or Uptown Funk, either one of those?
I have heard that a Bruno Mars fan club is actually thinking of writing you a very nasty letter.
Although, Jay, there are certain circles that are proud of me. You know, those fans of ours that love Metallica.
Yes.
Those Pablo Cruz fans are so happy that I couldn't think of Bruno Mars.
So you're double check before you take your uncle out for lunch. Your nearby Hooters may have closed. And this is interesting. I didn't realize this, but the company has been around for 41 years.
Man. Almost half a century. And it's kind of a trend. There's been a lot of restaurant chains recently close a lot of doors. I've seen just in the area where I live, a lot of Applebee's have gone under. And I'm like, how does an Applebee's close? They're always packed. And it's always like just an easy place to go get something, you know, quasi-affordable that tastes kind of good. And they're closing their doors too. So that's a tough business, the restaurant biz. Jay, we've got about a minute left, and if you want to squeeze in one more story, here we go.
One more quick one. This is kind of a tough one if you've been depending on them for your pharmacy needs, but Walgreens says that they will close about 2,000 locations here over the next 8 to 10 months.
Well, I guess fortunately, that's a small percentage because they have like 20,000 locations. I mean, they're everywhere.
They actually have 8,600 stores. But if you think about it, that's
about a fourth.
So,
you know, that is a lot, especially if that's where you get your prescriptions or, you know, items you need, healthy items you need for health and beauty. If that's where you go and you don't drive or don't have a car and that's where you walk to and they're closing, that's a big deal. So hopefully somebody else can step up or there can be help from the neighborhood or volunteers to help the elderly get their prescriptions in an area where their pharmacy, just closed down. All right, Jay, appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot for nothing, for not helping me think of the name Bruno Mars. We'll do, you know what, I'll try to dedicate a future show to Bruno Mars and his charities and foundation work. For now, this is The Adam Ritz Show.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.